This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Secretary Clinton used several different servers and administrators of those servers during her 4 years at the State Department. Seven email chains concerned matters that were classified at the top secret special access program at the time they were sent and received. Those chains involved Secretary Clinton both sending emails about those matters and receiving emails about those same matters.
She said today that we may consider the Attorney General to go forward. That's like a bribe, isn't it? Isn't that sort of a bribe? I think it's a bribe.
Boy, lots of reaction. The verdict is in, so to speak. There will be no charges against Hillary Clinton for the use of a private email server, where, as you just heard, the first voice, the director of the FBI, James Comey, talking about the chains and where the emails were, but in the end saying that no charges were there, that they're not going to push for charges over the private email. Certainly didn't sound that way when he started off. And then you heard Donald Trump, the Republican nominee for president, reacting to word that nothing was going to be thrown the way of Hillary Clinton. Now you can all react here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, because this is the buzz in the land, 855-266-5283. But it's just about the emails, the FBI's non-indictment, but still saying that there was this evidence of these chains. It was kind of crazy. And the thing that boggles your mind the most is the story that happened last week, where the Attorney General on a plane gets a visit by the former president, Bill Clinton, in the middle of all this. So it just did not look good. Although she had said, way before any visit by the president on a plane, supposedly talking about grandchildren, that she wasn't going to file any kind of charges. She was going to go by the FBI's recommendation. So that's exactly what she said she would follow, and that's exactly what she, you know, did follow. That saying that, you know, Comey saying that there wasn't enough there. So that was it. And this is the end of the line for emails and investigating with the FBI, that part is, you know, now over. It's interesting because the president was with Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail for the first time, giving her, you know, character a boost, endorsing her, talking about what she means to Americans and what her economic plan means. And they chose North Carolina, a state that traditionally goes the way of Republicans. It's definitely a battleground state. So there you go. He's out there, he's campaigning, and Hillary Clinton is cleared. Then you have Donald Trump, who has been talking about Clinton in the emails and other aspects related to what's happening in America as far as Hillary Clinton is concerned and why she would make a lousy president. And I think now because of this, just the storylines, the drama, the soap opera-ishness of electing a president just got even deeper. It's just another storyline that went in a different direction. Even there was this, the possibility of having the FBI director, James Comey, having to answer for decisions. The House Oversight Committee Chair, Jason Chaffetz from Utah, said he might call him to testify after this announcement earlier that he wouldn't recommend prosecution of the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Because Chaffetz's panel has been investigating Clinton and private email while in office. And they're saying that Comey's office has not been forthcoming with the information because the investigation was pending. So he's saying now that it's closed, there's no excuse not to provide the information to Congress. And Chaffetz said he talked to Comey after he made the public statement earlier in the morning, but that he was not talkative about what he was willing to share. We may see some subpoenas come out of this. Where it goes, you know, that's a different question. Who knows? At this point, I think it's nil, except for that it, I guess, keeps it out there, but that's it. Otherwise, the decision has been, you know, the decision has been made, and the decision is that there is nothing to go forward with as far as a prosecution. And boy, does it seem like, just like Benghazi, like that this story has been coming up forever and ever and ever and ever. And listen, I've said this already many, many times on the show. In fact, I said it last hour, but I'm going to say it again. I think what they were guilty of is just the ultimate power. Hey, I'm the Secretary of State, whatever. Other people did this before me. People have commingled their servers or personal and private emails, and that's it. So what's the big deal? There's nothing I won't release, so who cares? Not even thinking we live in the era of the hacker, and I really believe that. That's what's scary, is that once again, typical of Washington politics, look, we have some of the brightest people in the world, and I don't care what they label themselves as, to not sit down and really map things out. Okay, why can't you use a server? Because a private server. Because, yes, we have these incredible hacks already. We see what happens with our government and how many organizations have been hacked into, let alone private emails. So why aren't those things on a dry erase board somewhere that somebody goes down them? Boom, ba boom, ba boom. Okay, you're in this job now. Here's where the email goes. Somebody, Joe down the hallway, handles this. And here's everybody's new BlackBerry or whatever. Crazy. Speaking of crazy, coming up, a little of this, a little of that. Casey Anthony says she's bored. Remember Casey Anthony, 5 years after the jury cleared her of murdering her daughter? She's bored. Do we care that she's bored? I don't care that she's bored. Do you care that she's bored? In Rio, there's a sign when you get off of the plane that was greeting some people that said, "Welcome to hell." So why is Rio hell when in less than 100 days it is going to be the site for the next Olympics where everyone, competing athletes from all over the world, will descend upon Rio de Janeiro? Find out next on ATN.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
July. Hope it was a good one. Did you go see fireworks? Did you eat too many hot dogs? I don't know how many times I said on this show that I couldn't believe what we found out, that 150 million hot dogs are eaten on 4th of July. And then how about this? Everywhere I drove, and I was wondering this, if anyone won this, the Mega Millions jackpot. Not that I'm, like, following the lottery all over the place, but the Mega Millions jackpot was, like, some crazy number. It was something like, I don't know, $454 million, something like that. It was, like, that's an incredible number. So if one person, just for grins, just humor me with this, if one person won, just one person, and they got the cash sum, you know how much money they would get? My math is right. They would get $319 million. Wow. That would be a fun thing to win after Independence Day, wouldn't it? And the ticket sales were, like, incredible, I guess. Of course they were incredible. Because, you know, hey, plunk a dollar down, you know it's ridiculous and you have a better chance of getting hit by lightning, but who knows? Maybe it's your turn. Maybe you'll at least get the return on your investment. Someone has to win, right? I used to hear these commercials. Somebody has to win. But that is a whole lot of money to win. Clear from taxes. $319. I said we were going to zig and zag in a couple of different directions, so I want to make sure we stay on course. And we give you what I said I was going to give you. The buzz in the backyard is definitely about this email stuff. But besides that, Casey Anthony, I saw this story today and I thought, I mean, why am I even giving this airtime? But we had so many reports. We had Chris O'Donnell, who was there at the courthouse and came on and told us what was happening in outside of Orlando with the case and how crazy and insane it was. So 5 years after the jury found her not guilty of murdering her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee, apparently she's having trouble holding down a job, and they say she lives kind of like a person on a fixed income without much going on in her life. She's bored. She complains she's bored all the time. Supposedly her legal team gave her some financial support. She got, of course, huge national attention after the photos showed her partying in the days following her daughter's disappearance. Prosecutors said she murdered the baby, hid her body in the woods outside of Orlando for a utility worker to find back in 2008. Defense attorney said that Kaylee Anthony drowned in the family's swimming pool. Either way, this poor little girl died. Nobody goes to jail for that, and nobody knows exactly what happened. There's those two different versions I gave you, and now she's complaining she's bored. She's bored. We do not care if she's bored or not. Something I care more about, especially because we just went through 4th of July, one of my favorites besides Ben Franklin is Tom Jefferson. I said this last week, I'll say it again. If you go to Philadelphia, do yourself a favor and go to the Constitution Center, it's called. It is amazing, and it's right there in Independence Hall. It's right across from the Liberty Bell. All of it is right in the same area. You can walk to all three. So this was not found in the Constitution Center, but it's one of those crazy finds. A family made the discovery, really, of a lifetime. They found a letter written by Tom Jefferson where the third president talks about the virtues of American independence and hails victory in the War of 1812. And in this letter, he says, as in the Revolutionary War, the British conquests were never more of the spot on which their army stood, never extended beyond the range of their cannon shot. He wrote this letter in Monticello, his home, on Valentine's Day in 1815. He said, "We owe to their past follies and wrong the incalculable advantage of being made independent of them. We must sacrifice the last dollar and drop of blood to rid us of that badge of slavery." I mean, wow, how about that? The letter was a response to one from an ambassador to France, William Crawford, and it was found in a box tucked away in the family's attic among other heirlooms. A Philly dealer of historical documents is selling the letter on behalf of the family, the asking price, a lot less than Mega Millions, $325,000. I mean, that's a one-of-a-kind thing. So, I mean, usually those kind of letters are owned by direct descendants and donated to private collections. It's a four-page letter, and it really focuses, Jefferson really focuses on his hatred for the British. Goes on and on to talk about things that have happened and how they have to get away from, how America has to get away from the Brits, or the colonies have to get away from the Brits. Fascinating, isn't it? What's in your attic? You have any letters from some historical figures? I don't know. I think it'd be crazy. Somebody opens that, they don't know they have it, and they find it when they're going through some of what's in the attic. I mean, that's like one of those stories on the Antique Roadshow. Hey, how much is this letter worth from Thomas Jefferson? Wild. Speaking of a slice of history, I'm going to mention this here quickly, too. Monuments Men, apparently, as we know, rescued the art, but the Nazis got it back. There's a story about it that says that what happened was a lot of the pieces never made it back to the original owners because the group turned over the artwork to a Bavarian state after the war, and some of them sold it back to Nazi families cheaper. They say that the Bavaria State painting collection was given 10,000 items in 1949. They were returned to Jewish families, but they were supposed to be returned to Jewish families, but instead were offered to Germans, including prominent Nazis. So that's ridiculous. That's like two wrongs make a wrong. Well, we'll just sell it back to the Germans. After they rescued the art, we'll sell it back. I've heard stories like that. So I guess they're true. That's what they did. Sold it back to the Germans. Not every piece, but a lot of it, apparently. Wow. Awful. Terrible to hear that. Ugh. Especially on this week of all weeks, where we were celebrating our independence and all of that. I mean, I just feel for the people that are, you know, had their collections looted and then were doubly insulted by that. And I mentioned this, Welcome to Hell, which was a sign that was at the Rio airport, had to do with the police who were not getting back pay and are furious over it. So they put up the sign. They're waiting for their back pay. You know, they've got a lot of problems in Rio. The organizers have budgeted about $2 billion for operations, but there's another few billions that are needed. So it's been crazy. They do have high-speed buses. They have some things under control, but they've got problems with the water, Zika, and now they have problems with the police saying, good luck, I hope you can defend yourself. And supposedly there's going to be 85,000 security types on hand, and they're going to need every single one of them. Every single one of them. I don't know. I like the idea of Rio. I like the idea of the Olympics. But, boy, some of the elements are frightening. Hang with us. Coming up next, Meredith Elliott Powell. Fascinating interview about what should happen with employees but isn't.
Right. You got an accent. Chewy the positive.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today. 866-257-3105.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one someone suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Next guest here on America Tonight. She's in our virtual green room. It's another one of our continuing segments on It's Your Business. She's written a book called Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. Oof, that sounds good to me. Meredith Elliott Powell joins us. Hey, Meredith, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. This virtual green room is rocking.
That's right. We were going to put some Red Bull in it for you, but I think you don't need any.
that's probably true.
So I love the title. It intrigues me. Own It, Redefining Responsibility. Why do we need to redefine responsibility in companies?
Such a great question. You know, when I decided to write the book and I went to my publisher, he said, you cannot put responsibility in a title. Nobody wants to be responsible. Nobody will read it. And I said, well, that's exactly my point. It's why we need to redefine it. And in my opinion, we see responsibility. I say the word and you can feel the energy suck out of the room. We see it as like a burden, something that is being done to us. The purpose of my book was to redefine it because it is your power. It is your path to freedom. It's where once you take responsibility, the path and the choice is yours to do anything you want in your life.
Yeah, boy, and that is so true, whether it's personal or professional. But when you talk about responsibility in a work environment, when you say redefining it, does it also mean clearly having better roles for people or understanding their strengths? You know, that's a big deal now. What is somebody strong at on the team, and how do we define leadership and all of these terms that fly around the room like we're in Poltergeist and it's the furniture that's flying around and they're just words. So how do we make those words make sense when you're in a company and you're trying to do that? You're trying to figure out the right roles.
Well, know, in today's world, whether it be personal or professional, let's just talk about in a professional environment. You know, somewhere along the line, we made a shift where we all feel very out of control, and we're waiting for a leader to coach us, or somebody to give us a job, or somebody to promote us, or somebody to mentor us. And in redefining it, it's really about saying, what do I want to be? What are the skills that I need to get there? And how can I take responsibility to make sure that I learn and grow and invest in my company so my company is willing to turn around and invest in me?
Yep, well said. I read the book. I love the book. And one of the things that you talk about that's pretty powerful is you talk about the workforce in general and why it's important to be engaged. You know, you look at a workforce and it's fully engaged. If you have a fully engaged workforce, it's the greatest competitive advantage you have left. That's pretty powerful. Why is it the greatest competitive advantage?
You know, I would go so far as to say that it's pretty much the only one. I wrote a book called Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, all about the shifts in this economy and the fact that the world changed after 2008, that date that's burned in our memory. And basically, you know, right now, the very fact that I am in a virtual green room talks about the changes in this economy. We can be anywhere, sitting at home, in our underwear, Googling until our heart is content, and have everything we need, anything we want to buy. We can buy it anywhere in this world, anytime we want to. So this is an economy where what you sell has become a commodity, but how you sell it is your competitive advantage. Now, if you own a business, how you sell it would be so easy if you were the one who interacted all the time with your customers. But more often than not, it's your employees. So you are dependent for your success and your growth in creating an amazing customer experience, which begins with the relationship that you have with your employees, how engaged they are. And when you look at employee engagement, I mean, it impacts the bottom line. It impacts the customer experience. It impacts cash flow. It impacts productivity, efficiency. I could go on and on. If I had to tell business owners to focus on one thing, as they look at improving, if they had to pour their resources into one thing, I would say get the greatest workforce you can get, and you will succeed in business today.
Yeah, and piggybacking on what you just said, one of the pretty provocative things that you go on to talk about in your book is, and it plays right off of that, is you think the workforce and having it fully engaged and ready to roll is so important that you say it's more important than the relationship you have with your customers. Wow. Is that because the customers will come and they'll be satisfied if the workforce is?
Completely. You know, I say that this is an economy where the relationship that you build with your employees is more important than the relationship that you build with your customers. And yeah, that is provocative because it makes most people go, what did she say? Because all we hear about is customer experience, makes customer happy. But the customer's experience is dependent upon how much your employees care. I mean, we've all had those stories where we walked in someplace, they've paid bukus for advertising, we're walking in there to buy whatever we want to buy, and the employee ruins the experience for us. They're either complaining about their job, they don't have the knowledge, they're not interested or whatever. That in an economy where consumers have a choice, I say that customers are almost looking for a reason not to do business with you. And a bad interaction, not even bad, I don't even have to go that far, a lukewarm interaction with one of your employees just turns people off. You know, the other thing that's crazy is I feel like we have become so void of really great employees. I mean, think of this in your own mind. Like, you go to the grocery store and you get some high school kid who's into it, and he asks you how your day is, if you found everything in the grocery store. You're so blown away by that because we don't experience it anymore. You walk around town and tell everybody. So not only do you want to engage your workforce to have a great customer experience, but if you do it, you're going to stand out from your competition because it's so hard to come by in today's world.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. I love your grocery store example because I just had that happen to me, and I was so blown away that I told everyone to go there. And he was very sincere. He kept saying, how was your day? What have you done? He asked me the question, what have you done today that was fun? I was like, what? What have I done today that was fun? Are you kidding me? And he was so sincere, and I thought, wow. Even if somebody told him to do it, it certainly didn't seem that way. And it was powerful. Absolutely. It's funny that you say that. So you have a lot of statistics and real-world examples in the book to prove what you're saying, you know, to just add to that and to put more layers on it, I'll say. One of the statistics is this Gallup, and I saw this maybe a month or two ago as well, where according to Gallup, 7 out of 10 workers report that they're checked out. They're checked out. 7 out of 10. That's crazy, Meredith. Is that really true?
You know, it's not only true. I talk about this in the book. I say the book's written in three sections. The first section is the nerd section that has all the stats and all the statistics. The second section is written for the leader on how to build the right culture in today's workforce. And the last section is written for the employee saying, what are you doing waiting for somebody else to engage you? It's your life. It's your career. But in the first section, not only are 7 out of 10 workers disengaged. I mean, I think it's mind-blowing that they're willing to fill out a survey that says, I don't care, I'm not interested. But Gallup went on to report that if we don't start doing something different, that if we as leaders don't begin to understand how the economy's changed, how customers have changed, and employees have changed, that statistic's going to rise in the next couple of years to 84%.
Wow.
That means that 84% of the people who you pay to come to work for you are checked out, disengaged. And I think most business owners would agree that your, you know, staff is your most expensive output, you know? And what your employees are saying, listen hard, is what we're doing as leaders is not working. We need to do something different.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the coolest thing that you found out in writing this book?
You know, wow, that's such a great question. I think the coolest thing that I found out was one I discovered on my own when I really got down there and really started doing the research was the fact that everybody talks about what's wrong with this younger generation. There's just no work ethic. There's no loyalty. There's no anything. And that is not true. So that was a cool thing to really find out. But what I discovered from that was, you know, I grew up in a world where if you went to work, you basically believe that if you worked hard, that company would still be there 30 years from now. You would probably get retirement and a pension and those types of things. And if you didn't work there anymore, it would be your job. It would be your choice to go someplace else. But the coolest thing I think that I found out was the fact that today's workers are less loyal because there's nothing to be loyal to. Pensions are off the table, retirement accounts, mergers and acquisitions can happen at any moment. And I don't care how long your company's been there, no employee believes that 100% guaranteed their job will be there. So as leaders, we need to recognize that with the staples and the traditional things off the table, no wonder employees lack loyalty. And with those things off the table, if we want to create it, we've got to put something else in its place. And that's what I wrote about in the book.
Yep, I absolutely love it. And I would be remiss not to ask you this because I do know there's another layer to you. You have this serious side of researching and finding out all this wonderful information in Own It, Redefining Responsibility. But I found out your wow is that you're a big hiker and you've actually hiked in 14 countries. And how many miles do you think you've hiked in your lifetime?
I have hiked thousands, probably. Probably close to 10,000. I don't know. I've hiked, and I'm right now I'm working on my 100 in the national parks to celebrate the national parks 100th anniversary this year.
Wow, perfect way to end this. I would love to go on a hike with you. Could we go like just a couple miles?
Oh, we'll definitely go just a couple miles. Yeah, and I'll put you on my back for the last 10.
Thank you, Meredith Elliott Powell. Pick up her book, Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. They can get it on Amazon, right?
Yes, absolutely. They can get it on Amazon.
All right. Love it. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Back from 4th of July, and I'm sure many of you probably downed a ton of hot dogs. We said this statistic the other day, that 150 million people, according to the meat industry, would have eaten the hot dogs on 4th of July. But really, the whole summer deal is a big time to eat hot dogs, because you're at baseball games, you're at barbecues, and it's an easy, quick thing to make, and people like them, frankly. And I did this little unscientific poll of what you liked on your hot dogs, and many of you still responded as I went to the email, and it was full. So on that note, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
And as we move to our first one, this one from Jake in Austin. Kate, I heard you talking about hot dogs, and I have to tell you, I do not like sauerkraut, but I like onions, I like mustard, I like relish, I even like chili. I think when you put chili on a hot dog, it becomes a rounded out meal, and I think a lot of people like to do the chili thing. Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, Jake. It's messy. When you pour chili on a hot dog, it is so messy. So you have to be willing to accept you might get something on a shirt or wear like a bib. But nobody wants to wear a bib. All right, this one is from Hal. I heard you talking about hot dogs. The best hot dog, bar none, that I've ever had has been in Los Angeles. I went there to see a Dodger game once when I was visiting some friends, and they keep talking about these famous Dodger dogs, but I don't know what it is. It's something about the way they make them. It really was the best hot dog I've ever had. I've had a Dodger dog, and people always talk about Dodger dogs, and you're right. It is really good. I don't know what it is about them, really, because you can get a hot dog at any ballpark, but there is something about a Dodger dog, and somebody else just said that to me the other day, that they couldn't wait, that they were going to get a Dodger dog, and it's their favorite. All right, we move from hot dogs and what you like on your hot dogs to a few more serious deals. This one is from
Mary, who says, Kate, isn't it scary what's happening in other parts of the world? I just saw that there was another attack in Saudi Arabia. There's just been this wave of suicide attackers. It doesn't make me feel paranoid, or there's not fear-mongering about what's happening here in the United States. It just, frankly, makes me feel very sad for innocent people who happen to be in a place that somebody decides they're going to ruin lives. And you've said it before on your show, this idea that there's just absolutely no regard for their own life and regard for others' other lives is just so disgusting and despicable. I feel sorry for the people and the families involved in what happened in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, you know what? There's been a couple of attacks. Two of the attacks failed, but four people were killed in the third one, and they seem like they were all coordinated, is what is being reported anyway. That 34-year-old guy blew himself up with an explosives belt, and he lived with his wife and her parents. He came to Saudi Arabia, they say, about 12 years ago to work as a driver. So what do you make of that? You know, people that are married, people that have kids, again, not having the regard for their own life, willing to just do whatever they have to do. And if you remember, it was just a little over a year ago, that there was a suicide bombing that ripped through a mosque where it belonged to a special emergency force. And this was in, I guess, the south part of Saudi Arabia. I can remember this well because I remember talking about it. It killed at least 13 people that I recall. And then there were a bunch of people that were wounded as well. So here we have Ramadan. And there apparently are calls for attacks during Ramadan. And this is what they're saying is why we're seeing these events that are taking place. And as that comes up and as we get closer, the word is we may see more of it, because it's one of the most holy times in that world. But yet we know that this is now one of the potential times that we may see mass attacks. And, yeah, absolutely awful, of course. Anytime you hear of an attack somewhere, just because it's not in the United States, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Terrible. All right, here's another one from Michael. And Michael says, hello, Kate Delaney and the crew of America Tonight. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy the show and the different topics or stories that you tell and talk about. Keep it up. Don't let anyone tell you how to do a show. I think your show is so much better than what is offered out there. Also, did you happen to see, on the fun side, the hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July? Can you imagine eating as many hot dogs as Joey Chestnut? Oh, well, no. I'm lucky if I can eat two hot dogs. So Joey Chestnut won the contest, and he ate 70 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. 70 hot dogs. And you know what? This has become such an event now, this eating. And eating is a competitive sport, not just for the rest of us, but 35,000 people apparently showed up to watch the eating contest. And Joey Chestnut, he lost last year to Matt Stoney, and he won this year. But it was pretty close, I guess. Matt Stoney had 69, but it was just... And you know what? Here's the thing. They both take home, I guess, a part of the $40,000, because that's what's offered up. Can you imagine? So I talked to Matt Stoney, and he said when he was 18, he played tennis and everything, and he had these crazy dreams of being like a Roger Federer. When he realized that wasn't going to happen, he had entered just for fun, an eating contest, and he was good at it. He won, and he said for 10 minutes work, he weighs all of like 120 pounds, he got $1,000. So he realized he had a knack for it, and he went into the business, and it is a business. Veteran competitive eaters, they have a training regimen that they do. They to get themselves ready, how they breathe and swallow, and, you know, you're talking about breathing and swallowing hot dogs. I mean, how do you do that? Just absolutely crazy. So anyway, we move from that. We're back on hot dogs again. How do we get there? How do we get to it? So we go into this one from Mac, who says, hello, Kate Delaney. I like this, hello, Kate Delaney. Hello, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You were talking about VP candidates and how important they'll be for both the Democrats and for the Republicans. It looks like Donald Trump is getting closer to announcing who his VP is going to be. Do you think it's going to be Chris Christie? Do you think it's going to be Newt Gingrich? Which direction do you think he'll go? Boy, I don't know. You know, it's interesting because which helps him more? Chris Christie, who's the New Jersey governor, or Newt Gingrich, who's the former Speaker of the House? And there have been other people, of course, that Trump has met with. There's the Iowa Senator, Joni Ernst. There's the Arkansas Senator, Tom Cotton. There's been conversations about Cotton. And then the two names I just mentioned, Gingrich and Chris Christie, seem to get the most attention. I have no idea. I have decent sources. Nobody really knows where he's leaning. Supposedly, he really liked Chris Christie. He really likes his style. He really thinks, you know, that he has a lot of supporters as much as he has detractors. But that's like two Northeastern guys on the same ticket. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I'm not sure. Newt Gingrich could have the inside track, but then you're going back into history, although he's been on television a lot lately. So he has TV time that's going for him. I think we might see Newt Gingrich. If I had to pick one, I guess I'm going to say Newt Gingrich. All right, let's jump ahead to our last one. This one is from Jeej. Rio, disaster, Kate. You see that they discovered the super bacteria in the water, and this is right when the Olympics are growing near. Any chance they call off the Olympics? I don't think so. That would be shocking. I saw a quote from an athlete the other day that says, the beach water feels like there's some alien enemy entering your face. That is a frightening statement, though, isn't it? So a bunch of Brazilian scientists have detected this drug-resistant bacteria growing off the shore. And, I mean, it is a terrible timing, of course. And they're saying that it entered the water when sewage coming from local hospitals got channeled into the bay. And they've been looking in coastal waters for a whole year in 5 beaches. And they found that the threats happen in the coastal waters in a whole different areas of concentration, and they're associated with pollution. So it's not good news, because this comes as Rio is preparing to host hundreds and thousands of athletes and tourists during the 2016 Olympic Games. And the beaches were flagged when the Olympic sailors were scheduled to compete. So, and what they say is it can cause severe skin infections, which is not good. So it's a pretty fragile situation. We'll see. They have time to try to do what they can to clean it up. Oof, troublesome. Hey, if you have some thoughts on the show, you can send them to me, americatonight.net.
Attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.